Well, I got to tell you, I've been totally looking forward to Sunday this week, because the message that I'm wanting to share with you, just burning on my heart, it's a very simple thing, really, really simple. But I believe that if we hear this today and actually do something about it, for some of us here, this is going to be a huge, like, just opening up a whole new way of looking at life. And it's based on a very simple principle that's clearly taught in Scripture that we're applying in many areas of our life, except in the arena of our spiritual health. And this is part of a series called God's Plan, where at Easter, Jesus rose from the dead, and we remember that historical fact, but we remember that it was not just a historical fact. It's also a personal reality, that because Jesus rose from the grave, we also have an opportunity, not just after we die, but here and now, to know that new life that can exist in us through Christ, that the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. When you say, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, take control of my life, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, gives us gifts, gives us empowerment to do things that we couldn't otherwise do. And so one of the biggest things and the most important things we can do in life is to say, Lord, how have you wired me up? What is your specific plan for my life? And God delights in revealing that to his kids because he wants your life to thrive. He wants your life to be abundant. He wants the gifts that exist in you to be a blessing to the world around you. So first week we talked about how the first and most important step is just simply in dedicating your life to Christ. It's not my life. It's actually, fully, it's about Christ's life in me. Not what do I do with my life, but what do I do with Christ's life in me? That's where it starts. Last week we talked about spiritual gifts, how there are gifts that the Spirit gives and puts inside every believer that for us to discover and then to apply. And we talked about some of the different ways that you can discover and apply those things, some different survey tools, some teaching on that. And actually, if you want to backtrack, we've got that up on the podcast on our website. Also, some of the assessment tools that can be very helpful. Today we're talking about this very simple principle, but it's a big deal. Big deal. And it starts with this basic observation. There are things about me that I cannot see. This is Dr. Seuss Day. We're going to do some of that, okay? Say it together with me. There are things about me that I cannot see. And there are things about you that you're also blind to. So let's try the whole thing. There are things about me that I cannot see. And there are things about you you're also blind to. Yeah, we'll make cartoons of this. It's great. So about a year ago, my wife Anita noticed a mole on my back, the center of my back, that looked, I guess, kind of funky or something. And so she and our family doctor got in cahoots, and they removed the offending mole, and apparently several hundred dollars in the process. And they do it, and they took a look at it and wanted to see whether it was something problematic. And as it turns out, it wasn't. But it was still the right thing to do. They needed to look into something that could have been a significant threat to my health. But here's the thing. I've never seen the mole. I've never seen the center of my back. I have absolutely no idea what it looks like. You don't either. You don't know what the center of your back looks like, right? Which is why we need people. We need other people to see that. That's why you have a rear view mirror on your car. When you drive, there are things that, when you're driving, that you need to see that on your own you can't see. If you're a store clerk, you probably have security cameras up in your store because there are areas of the store that you need to see in order to keep that store safe that on your own you can't see. There are things about me that I can't see. Things about you. You're also blind to. We know that. We know that. We experience that in the physical areas of our life, but we very rarely apply it to the spiritual areas of our life. So today I want to talk about an extremely powerful, simple, very scary practice of seeking godly counsel, of just asking other believers, what do you see in me? What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What are things I need to be paying attention to in order for me to be all that God would have me be? Now, the Bible talks about this concept quite a bit, especially in things like Proverbs. And I'd like to turn to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. This is written by the second wisest man ever that lived, King Solomon, first wisest being Jesus. But Solomon wrote this about 2,900 years ago. The way of fools seems right to them. You've probably got a friend that as soon as they have gone through all the trouble of forming an opinion, that settles it for them, right? So they've got an idea, they're settled in their head, and they're not going to listen to anybody else to try to change their mind. You've got somebody in mind like that, right? Now, don't point. No, we're just thinking. Not pointing today. We're just thinking about them. We can pray for them later, okay? But the wise listen to advice. The way of fools, that's what the Bible calls somebody, that is so stubborn and stuck in their opinion, believing that just because they've thought it, it's as good as gospel, they're a fool. According to the Bible, a fool. But the wise listen to advice. Or another proverb from Proverbs chapter 15. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. I'd like you to think about this for a second. If you've ever had a business opportunity or something where you tried something, a bold new venture that was extremely beneficial to your life, business, or, oh, you got to meet this person, they're going to be fantastic for you, or have you ever thought about taking a lesson in this area? Whatever it is, there's a pretty good chance that you took that step because somebody gave you advice. Maybe that was your mom. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was unsolicited. You didn't even ask for it, but they gave it and you listened. Maybe you sought it out. You went and got some legal counsel. You talked to somebody that's already started a business similar to yours, and you said, hey, what do I need to be aware of? There's a good chance, if it was a big thing that helped your life in a significant way, just think about it. Tell me whether or not this is true. Somebody else spoke into your life. They give you encouragement to try something that you didn't think you could do. But they spoke to you and you went, you know, maybe I can. And on the flip side, you think of the things in your life that you regret the most, the decisions that you wish you hadn't made. Chances are, you made those decisions in isolation. You didn't listen to your mother when she said, don't go out with him. You didn't listen to your friends when they said, that's just not a good idea. Or you just chose not to ask because you were afraid of what they'd say. You thought that you pretty much knew they'd say no, so you didn't ask. And then you did it anyway. And now you regret it. Plans fail for lack of counsel. But with many advisors, they succeed. Or Hebrews puts it this way in chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. I mean, it's really easy to just go, church, it's not a big deal. Meeting with Christians, it's not a big deal. Connection groups, I don't have the time for that. Too busy. I'm too busy. I'm way too busy. It says, no. These are things that are important. You got to make time for them. Because when we need to encourage one another. Encourage one another. All the more as we see the day approaching. You need other Christians in your life. People that can help to see your strengths, to see your weaknesses, to give you courage to do and to try the things that you haven't done before. And now I'm going to go off on a little bit of a limb here. I think it's a strong limb, so it may be true, it may not. But this morning, we could probably divide the congregation roughly into two groups in relation to godly counsel. Some of you, you've been doing this for some time. You had people that spoke into your life. You had somebody that said, Andrew, these are the things I see in you as strengths. These are the things I see in you as weaknesses. This is what I see as your potential. And you had a number of people do that, and you started to see a pattern. And for those of you right now, you're praying for me that as I'm preaching this message, that the rest of the congregation hears it, because it has been so impactful in your life. You cannot imagine hardly functioning as a Christian without having that kind of insight, because it was so beneficial. The other part is you haven't tried it yet because you're scared, or maybe there's other reasons. Because seeking out counsel can be a really scary thing, right? Really scary thing. Because what if I ask somebody what they see in me and they identify things in me that I don't want to hear? One of the things that, I've been in worship ministry for a very long time, and I train worship leaders both locally, sometimes on a regional level. A few times I've done this on a national level. If I'm mentoring an up-and-coming worship leader, one of the things I make them do, and they don't like this, and not everybody does this, and it usually is the defining mark as to whether they move forward and actually progress as a leader, worship leader, or not, is I ask them to record themselves and then listen back. So sing a song, play your instrument, record it, and then listen back. And most of the time they don't like to do that. For the same reason that you and I don't like to do that. Why? Because I don't like to listen back to myself. And they'll say stuff like, well, I just don't sound good on recording. And it feels true. But the truth is, that's exactly what you sound like. That's exactly what you sound like. Now, the good news is, see, all of the people around you, the people that have been playing with you the whole time, and the congregation that's listening to you, the band that's behind you, they hear that all the time. And they still stick around. It's just that you're hearing it for yourself for the very first time. And it feels really hard. So it's not really fun, but it is true. If you're a musician, you need to record yourself. You need to listen back to yourself, singing, playing, because that's what you sound like. That's hard. Now, that's also true in talking in the spiritual arenas. We talk about our emotional maturity and our growth in Christ. The people around you, they already see it. Now, sometimes we're scared if you ask questions like, what do you see as my strengths and weaknesses? And somebody's going to go, well, you know, Andrew, sometimes you're kind of self-centered and you get impatient and you're a little bit judgmental and you're short with people. And I don't want to hear that. But the truth is, everybody around me already sees it. I'm the only one that's clueless to it. It's true for you. Your strengths and your weaknesses, the major ones, the people that are closest to you in life, they already know. They already know. You're the only one that hasn't faced up to it. It's just you. It's just you. So why don't you ask them? Why don't you ask them what they see in you? Because here's the thing, they're still in your life. They still like you. They already know all this stuff about you. There's no surprise that they're going to tell you. They're already there. They already like you. And even more, God already knows it. God already sees it. And God already likes you. So much he died. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you. So there's no point in, being in denial about it. There are two things about the dark. Monsters live in the dark. And when it's dark, the monsters grow. They get scarier and hairier. But you know, if you drag the monster out of the dark and into the light, the monster generally shrinks. It gets less hairy. Its claws get less. And, I mean, some of you have been dealing with personality stuff or pains and hurts and addictive behavior. And you really think that nobody around you sees that? Everybody knows. Everybody sees, not necessarily in all its detail, but they see it. And if you drag it into the light, it'll shrink. You talk to somebody about it. You lay it before the Lord, it'll shrink. It'll get easier. The other thing about darkness, you know what doesn't grow in the dark? Seeds. Seeds don't grow, they stay dormant in the dark. There are seeds in you There are things in you that God has planted that they might be so small that you haven't even seen them yet. But some of the people around you that love you, they see that potential in you. And if that seed gets dragged into the light, it'll have a chance to grow. So I'm going to challenge you as hard as I know how to seek out godly counsel in one way or another. How do you look for a godly counselor? Here's two criteria. This isn't rocket science. You can write this down if you like, but here's the things you need to look for if you're looking for somebody that can provide godly counsel. Number one, they need to have a sincere love for Jesus. So you can get good counsel from people that aren't believers. You can go to a non-Christian doctor. They can provide excellent medical advice. Non-Christian lawyer, excellent legal advice. Non-Christian mechanic, excellent mechanical advice. You will not find godly counsel from a person that doesn't love Jesus. So find somebody that loves Jesus. And secondly, somebody that has a sincere love for you. The people that know you. People that already hang out with you. They're already friends with you. Even though they see all your crap, right? They know. I shouldn't have said that. You can delete that off the podcast later. But they already know. They already know. Somebody that loves you. Now, there is such things as the spiritual gift of discernment, words of knowledge, stuff like that that makes some people perhaps better than others, and there's training that can help. But, you know, don't get caught in the details for right now. Find somebody that has a sincere love for Christ and a sincere love for you and ask them some questions. Here's some questions to ask. And these are on your insert, by the way, so you can write them down if you like, but these might be ones just to be thinking about, even now. Okay? What do you see as my strengths and weaknesses? The people that love Jesus and love you, they've already got a list. They already know. Let's drag some of those things into the light. Number two. What do you believe I need to be paying special attention to in order for me to be all God wants me to be? What things in my life do I need to be especially mindful of? Whether that's the potentials that are currently untapped, whether those are maybe the vices I still struggle with, the hang-ups I still wrestle with. What do I need to be aware of in order for me to be all that God wants me to be? Now, it's important to note that just because one person says something doesn't mean it's necessarily true. But look for patterns as you talk to a number of people about this. Because here's the thing, you know, to the degree that it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you through them, I mean, the Holy Spirit's not trying to play games with anybody. As the people around you seek God and say, Lord, what would you have me say to Andrew about his strengths and weaknesses, the Holy Spirit's going to be saying similar things to the people that listen. So look for the patterns when people are saying some of the same stuff. Or thirdly, here's another question that can be very helpful. What threats to my spiritual and emotional health do you think I need to be especially vigilant against? We've all got things that are trying to take us down. And the people around you that love you and love Jesus probably can see them and identify them. And they can help you to see them and identify them so you can have your guard up against them. Make sense? So here's where it gets a little trickier. See, most of us don't do this. It's as plain as a rearview mirror on a car or a security camera in a store. Or, I mean, we all know that we need somebody else to identify the hairy mole on your back or whatever it is. But we don't do this in our spiritual life. We're scared, or we're reluctant, or each week we've got people that are available for things like prayer ministry in the back. People that love Jesus and love you. People that can ask questions that can be really helpful to understand what God's doing in your life. Questions like, you know, as you talk about, you know, what's going on in your life, they might ask something insightful like, where do you think God is in that situation? Or the question, how do you think God feels about you right now? Because oftentimes when we're really struggling with something, we end up having distorted views of ourselves before God. We forget about grace. And you just need somebody to remind you of who you are in Christ. to pray with you, to agree with you in prayer, to stand beside you. So those resources are available all the time, and most of us don't tap into them. Most of us don't. And I think I know why. It's because when prayer is available and you go, oh, I could talk to this person, I could call, you know, I could go back and receive prayer, I could call somebody up, I could write something down. I think, well, if I do that, well, somebody, the people around me are going to wonder, what's wrong with me? Well, I don't want anybody to know there's something wrong with me. I want to turn that question around to you today. And I'm sorry that this is going to hurt a little bit, but I've got to say it this way, because I love you. If you're not seeking prayer, if you're not actually asking for people to have input, to talk to you about what's going on in your life, what's wrong with you? Seriously, what are you so afraid of? What are you hiding? What do you believe that God can't redeem in your life? If you're not willing to talk to anybody about what's happening on the inside, to be vulnerable enough with another human being that they can actually pray for you, what's wrong with you? I know that hurts. But I say it in hopes that by addressing it straight on, God will give you and give us just enough courage to talk to somebody about what's happening in you on a heart level. Here's some options, some resources to do that. I mean, one, on your connection card, there's a little box that says, I'm interested in meeting with Pastor Andrew. You know, who would talk to you? Pick me, I'd love to. Now, truthfully, I can't do that on a Sunday morning, because what you need is you need 20-ish minutes of my undivided attention, which I would love to give to you, but I can't give to you on a Sunday morning. Truthfully, I can't. I've got a lot of hands to shake, and there's a lot of stuff that just kind of has to happen on a Sunday morning. But I'd love to meet with you for coffee or meal or mark down the box. That's one way to do it. We've got a prayer team that we're actually going to have a whole bunch of people available today for prayer. People that have been through training with Mike. I mean, this is what Mike talks about all the time. This is Mike's bread and butter. Helping people discern what God's doing in their life and trying to help them find the confidence and courage to do it, just like he's doing for himself as they're getting ready to go to Nicaragua. So proud of him. But there's a whole team of people that would love to listen to what's going on in your life, would love to pray with you about whatever it is. Ask those questions, like where's God in that situation for you right now? And you could even, you know, in a moment we're going to sing a couple of songs, we're going to get ready for communion, and during all that time there's going to be people available for prayer in the back. You could go back there and just sit down, have a private conversation with somebody, and you can actually hear something today that will completely change your life. Do you want to know how Columbia Grove got started? It was on a Lutheran pastor's couch in Park Ridge, Illinois, about January of 2003. I'd been there at that point for almost 3 years. I was doing music for the church, and I helped them kind of do through a kind of a church revitalization. And Fred Nelson, actually, I was talking to him just this past week. He sat me down, and I was talking about the plans that I had for after seminary graduation. I was ready to go back into full-time worship ministry, actually, and doing publishing and some consulting work. It was actually going great. And that was my plan. And he said, you know, Andrew, I really feel like God's told me to tell you this, but so it might not be right, but just weigh it, would you? Have you ever thought about church planting? Think that your leadership skills, it's great if you want to do all that, the worship stuff, that's wonderful, but I don't think you're going to find the kind of fulfillment of what God has you to be unless you have something where you get to exercise a greater weight of responsibility. I said, well, thanks, Fred. I'll think about that. And it was at that one sentence that triggered a whole new way, because I couldn't get it out of my mind. So I started to ask other people about it. I actually went through our denomination's what they call their assessment process, where, now if you think those questions are intimidating, Anita and I had people following us around like with clipboards, like psychoanalysts and psychologists and consultants and denominational execs for 3 days, getting to know us very, very, very well. I got a 25-page readout on my strengths and weaknesses. And at the end of that, they said, you know, Andrew, we think you're wired up for church planting. And we're gonna be behind you and support you and wherever the vision that that God's put on your heart, wherever you want to plant it. If there's anywhere in the world you could do the kind of, and by this point I was really dreaming about church planting, about what a church could be, you know, church that was intentionally multi-generational and invested in the creative arts and highly engaged in community service. So if you could do that anywhere in the world, where would you do it? And we both knew at that moment, Wenatchee, Washington. That's the place. That was a city that was on our heart, even though we'd only driven through here twice. And starting Columbia Grove is the third best decision I ever made. First was following Jesus. Second was marrying Anita. Couldn't imagine being satisfied if I had not said yes to it. And it happened because somebody spoke into my life and saw potential in me in something I could not see. There was a seed in me that needed to be carried out of the dark and into the light. There are seeds in you that need to be carried out of the dark and into the light. And it takes a scary conversation and making yourself vulnerable enough to talk to another human being about your faith. I'm going to double dog dare you to do something about that. Some of you are missing out on a significant portion of what God has for you, and all well-intentioned, you'll be in church for a long time, that's great. We're not talking about your salvation, but you will live a life of Christian mediocrity if you do not let somebody speak into your life, if you don't drive with your rearview mirrors up and just believe that maybe somebody else can see something in you that you cannot see in yourself. That's as plain as I know how to put it. And I'm going to lay it in your lap and see what you do with it. The rest of this worship service, I said we're going to be doing some songs. There's going to be soft music for a while. And even after communion, just music's going to continue. And my prayer is that this space right here would be a place where people start to have those kind of conversations. It might be with the prayer team. They would be an excellent resource. They're trained and ready and just eager to listen to you and pray with you. It might be the person you're sitting next to right now. You've got your arm around them. They already love you. And they are dying to answer some of these questions. If you will just, you know, put on the big girl panties, put on some big boy pants, and have a conversation with somebody about what's going on in your life. You can do this. And I really believe if you do, you're going to experience a whole new aspect of how God is leading your life. You can do this. Let me pray for us, okay, as the band comes up. Lord, thank you that you have a wonderful plan for every person here. That you love us desperately. You see us even more clearly than we can see ourselves. Lord, I pray that you would give each of us the courage to have the kind of conversations that allow the things that are already true in us to come into full light. That the things we struggle with could be named and addressed and laid before the cross. That the things that the potential that you've placed in us could be identified. That we could encourage each other and build each other up. And give each other the strength to do some of the things you're calling us to do. The things that we don't have the faith to believe in for ourselves, but maybe the person next to us would give us the courage to take one of those steps. I pray for our prayer team as they gather. Lord, just anoint their ears that they might listen really, really well to what you're doing in our body. Thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.